This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman. You're listening to the Nerdcast on ProjectNerd.com.
Before we get started, does anyone want to get out?
I knew it. I knew you were bluffing. I knew he was bluffing.
You're listening to the Nerdcast.
I feel like I should say something smart.
With Adam, Bob, Iggy, and Tyler.
You mustn't be afraid to dream a little bigger, darling.
Only on Project Nerd.
That is one big pile of shit.
Hey, it's the Nerdcast 2020. It's not our 2020th episode. It's only our 216th episode. But guess what? It's our first in-studio recording for 2020. I don't know what you'd say, because the one we released last week was, well, that was still December 31st. I don't know. So yeah, this is still our first. Anyways, it's our first episode of 2020. The Nerdcast by Project Nerd, brought to you by none other than the fine folks over at Geek Garage, geek-garage.com. Head on over to Geek Garage to check out the coolest geek vehicles all across the world. And they are amping up their events, and you can check those out there too. So you can see where you can go see some of those awesome vehicles in person too, over at Geek Garage. Guys, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year, buddy.
Hey, it's Adam, Bob, Iggy, in case, I guess we haven't shared that part. We just kind of rolled in. And what we were laughing about before is that Bob was trying to get in, couldn't figure it out. He said there's a password. We're like, there's no password. The password's apparently attached to the end of the link.
It's part of a link. Yeah, who knew?
Right. But Bob was taking the URL from his Facebook app on the phone and typing it into his computer, because logging into Facebook on the computer was, quote, shut up, Adam. Was quote.
Yeah.
So fantastic there. I don't know. Tyler might show up at some point. We haven't heard from him. Drew is now in the mix too. So before we get into all the fun content, obviously by the time this airs, we'll have Golden Globes out. So we're going to make some predictions right ahead of the show. But by the time this airs, we will have kind of a new thing going. We've been really bad about getting you guys fresh Nerdcast episodes on the weekly. I almost said daily. That would have been really, we've been really bad about that, I guess, too. But on the weekly, we want to get you a new episode every week. So we kind of grown the team a little bit. You'll see some, you'll hear some new voices, I guess, to better say it, on here as we kind of rotate that so we can get to you weekly. So you may not always have me. Sorry. I know you guys want me. You may not always have Tyler, like example this week. You may not always have Bob, like next week when the Chiefs are in their playoffs game. And you may not always have Adam.
I mean, I feel like I'm one of the more consistent voices.
I feel like Adam's the reason. Adam's definitely been the reason we haven't been able to record on a regular basis lately.
Yeah, thanks, Adam.
It's all Adam's fault, not Bob and the Chiefs or anything.
I don't know. What can I say? I do want to thank Miami Dolphins for me being here this weekend.
Right, giving you that bye week. Right, yeah,
thank that bye week. Clutch.
Thank you, Miami, for allowing Bob to join us. Because if there's any episodes Bob needs to be on, it's definitely our award episodes. And like I said, today we are going to discuss quite a bit about the Golden Globes. Obviously, if you want to see the full list of winners, we'll have that published over at Project Nerd. We already had the list of nominees up. And then, of course, we are like literally just a couple hours ahead of the episode recording. So we're going to get some quick predictions in on this recording, specifically on the movie side categories, because that's really what we specialize in. Although, I haven't shut up all weekend about the series I'm streaming now, too.
Oh, man, and there are some good series nominated this year. Like, holy crap.
Right? Well, fine. We'll talk about the series, too, when we get there.
Big ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. What I do want to start with is it is the new year. What kind of New Year's resolutions you guys got? I mean, I don't, you know, we don't really make resolutions, but what are your goals, I guess, for 2020?
My goal is to not break another bone.
Well, good luck with that one, Bob.
That's a tall order, Bob. Come on, bud.
I fractured my wrist just 2 days before Christmas.
Oh,
your streak of bodily injuries over the past few years has not been.
No,
you get a bigger contract if you can stay healthy all season, dude.
You're gonna give me a bigger contract?
Yeah, man. I'm gonna make that zero a lot larger on the paper.
All right.
Wait a minute. You guys are getting paid?
No, I said the zero.
Okay.
That's it. Honestly, though, that's a good, healthy goal for 2020. Joking aside or not, whether you'd broken a bone, it's a good, healthy goal.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Adam, what kind of goals you got set for 2020?
I didn't do a resolution. I don't
keep That's why I call going. It a goal.
I don't keep them ever. I don't know. I don't do those things either. I'm
don't set goals. You don't set goals for yourself.
No, I'm really unhealthy. But I've been walking a lot more, which is good.
I've been
going to a doctor. I've got national healthcare here. It's fantastic.
Right. So I can not worse things. Not even fair.
Did you renege your citizenship for the United States?
No, I didn't, Bob.
Okay, just checking.
Still got that. But I paid them a lot of money here so that I can go to use their doctors and stuff, which is great because then I don't have to pay more money. It's about like having insurance, so it's no big deal. I am taking steps to being healthier. That's one of my goals, is to get healthier and seeing doctors on a regular basis for important things.
Can we just say it loudly here? I don't care if it's cliche to get healthier as a New Year's resolution. Get healthier if you want to get healthier, right? Like, everybody now kind of makes it, oh, it's cliche. Oh, you're going to go. No, screw it. Even if you go to the gym just every once in a while, dude, like, self-help is becoming like a joke, the butt end of a joke with the New Year's resolutions. Like, if that's your resolution or your goal, hell yeah, do it. Get healthier.
Totally, right, yeah.
Exactly. So
I'm gonna do that and play a lot of video games. I mean, that's really where I'm at. Is I'm working on that balance.
The one life, I was waiting right? for.
That middle road. my friends out there, I'm looking for the middle path. So
too much of anything.
Play around and play a lot of video games. And I'm gonna walk around and go see doctors. So you right? know, I feel like those balance out.
Hopefully, you do some other things in between too.
Maybe.
Hey, that's a good goal, because too much of anything can be a bad thing, right? So too much healthy side of the living, right? We need to get some video games in there. Mental health, self-care time too. That's exactly. All part of your healthy 2020. Good job, mm-hmm. Adam. I'm happy for it. Well, I don't know. I should have had an answer before I asked this question, right? So I do this all the time. I got some big goals.
We are actually the worst at this, I think, probably.
I got some big goals for Project Nerd. Adam, you're privy to some high profile information that's going on. So we got some news for you coming around the corner. All kinds of cool stuff happening on Project Nerd this year. New podcast, new video content, new production content of all sorts, as well as the website just keeps getting better. But dude, now we're talking about production content and we're talking about goals for 2020. I want to say a thank you for 2019. What was that number that I shared, Adam? I shared the graph in the one group. Was it like 230,000 listeners to our podcast feed?
Yeah. It was around there, yeah. 19. And up over 20,000 a month.
Yeah, we
at the end of the year, which is fantastic.
I think it was August or so when we passed the 20,000 a month mark, and it stayed above it. October was ridiculous. I think the one said like 23,000 downloads or something in October. Wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course, this is for our main podcast feed. So you have the Nerdcast by Project Nerd, brought to you by Geek Garage. You have Meeple Skills once a month. You have I'm Not Famous couple times a month. And there was a couple episodes of G-Spot on there, but they're on their own feed, as well as Modern Sex, which those feeds add another like over 100,000 listeners to our in-house podcast, guys. We had near 350,000 listeners to our podcast, our in-house mm-hmm. podcast.
Wow. What up?
Guys, I cannot thank you guys enough. And thank you guys too, Adam and Bob. But I mean, those of you listening, I cannot thank you enough. Just continue to share us with your friends. Check us out. Visit the site. It means the world to us that we've talked about it many times here on the Nerdcast. It's just the group of us, including Tyler, that we would just have these conversations hanging out at my house back when we were all in Manhattan, Kansas, and carried it into a podcast. And now people want to listen to us for some reason. We still haven't figured that part out, but keep doing it. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And of course, 2019, man, I'll keep going on that. New site, Tom, kicking ass on the back end there. Cleaned up the back end of the site. New server, cleaned up the site. Great new look. Traffic's just boosted up there. You guys are staying on the site longer too. Our bounce rate has dropped tremendously. If you only pick us up on the podcast via where you find podcasts, head on over to projectnerd.com. That's project-nerd.com. And you will be able to check out all the other cool stuff we do, which has also just gotten bigger and better in 2019 and will also get bigger and better in 2020. One more 2019 thing before we really dive deep in the Golden Globes. The year's over. The year's over, guys. Favorite movies. My list will have published. So this airs on Tuesday. My list will publish yesterday on Monday. So you will see my top 10 movies, but I will share them again here. But Bob, who sees... you probably saw more movies than I did, Bob. I made an effort. We talked about it, and I made an effort, and I kept a spreadsheet this year. I saw 80 new movies this year. 80 new movies out in 2019.
That's any movies that came out this year? Or any movies that
came out
first time this year?
At the theater or on video or what?
Well, they don't all come out in theater anymore, dude.
No, they don't.
I've seen Netflix. Netflix freaking killed it. I've had Netflix on more than Disney Plus since Disney Plus dropped because Netflix took it seriously. They're not going down without a fight. That 4-week run of, what was it we had? The Irishman, Marriage Story, Six Underground, and then the Two Popes. And I know Six Underground kind of odd within that group, but if that first scene wasn't the most Michael Bay scene in the world, I don't know. It was fun.
It was a fun movie. It was stupid, but it was fun.
Right. So, I mean, there's a lot of movies. I think there's no way if it was the old school style where you could only see them in theater or via disc, there's no way I would have gotten to 80 movies. And yes, Adam, to answer your question, those were released in 2019. I've also seen a handful of movies that were new to me. And then I've seen a ton of movies that my now teenage son is being introduced to for the first time. Because he's getting older. So I watched a lot of movies this year, a lot. Man,
are you walking more and seeing a doctor? Because that's I mean, like you need to get on my health plan there, bud. Come on.
Right? I am running. I am doing a lot of stuff there too. But my balance is not video games. It's movies, I guess is the way to put it. So favorite ones this year. What we got, guys? Top movies. Just off the top of your head.
Parasite is my number one.
Oh God. Parasite,
we need to see that movie.
Golden Globes. When we get to the Golden Globes, Adam, you'll understand why. Cause I was going to bring up Bob. How many awards has that won now? It just won the best picture at basically Australia's version of the Academy Awards.
It won National Board of Film Critics. Just won a big award yesterday.
Yeah. The National Critics. It is
National Society of Film. Yeah. Don't be surprised if it walks away with Best Picture.
I don't know. It's going to get Best Foreign Picture. It's in that boat that Roma was last year at the Academy Awards to where obviously Best Foreign Picture and it's going to be nominated for Best Picture. It doesn't have the Netflix thing holding it back. And to be honest, your three of your top movies right now have that. And we'll get into that when we get into the Golden Globes. So we could see something walk away that we're not expecting to win because Netflix, as of right now, if you were to think outside of studios or who created it, Netflix has the three probably favorites, the award darling season favorites, three of the four with The Irishman, Marriage Story, and Two Popes. But the Academy's probably going to give him a little walk out of there. I don't know. What's that James Harden meme where he's like not going to talk to the microphone? I don't know. Anyways, Parasite. Parasite's a really good one. That is on my top 10 list. I felt it when it first started. I think we also, by the time I saw it, we had the hype and Bob, you were there for Tallgrass at the Tallgrass Film Festival. You couldn't standing room only in those screenings. It was insane. And by the time I saw it, all that hype, it started, I was kind of like, this is an interesting movie, but I don't understand what, but by the time it's over, I was like, that is a fantastic movie.
You know, it started off like last year's Shoplifters, which was at Tallgrass too. And it has that feel, but then the story started building and you kind of got a little bit more and once it really started building into that story, you're just like caught hook, line, and sinker. It is.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Such a good movie.
It is. Adam, you need to see it. I agree.
Yes, Adam.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot believe you haven't seen it.
I don't know what it's released. What's the release thing going on with it? Because it didn't get a huge theatrical release.
No. Well, it did, but it was more of a limited. But it's actually out on digital release next week.
I said it didn't get a huge theatrical release. It did, but it was more limited.
It was limited. Okay. Hey, shut up. No, it had a limited release. I know it never played here in Manhattan, like nothing ever plays here in Manhattan. But like I said, if you do want to see it, it's out on digital next week and it comes out on home video end of the month.
So Bob, is that your favorite movie of the year or was that just one of your tops?
That is my favorite movie of the year.
All right. All right. I can dig it. I'm pretty sure it made Nick's list, which is also already published on Project Nerd of top 10 movies of the year. Yeah. And it is definitely on my list. I think I had it at number... You know, actually, I pulled that up so I could see. It is number 3 on my list. Mm. Adam, throw us a movie. What was one of your favorites of the year? Ooh,
I'm really bad at getting like a favorite of the year. I'm awful at it. Anytime you ask me, Adam, what's your favorite whatever? I'll tell you 8 things. So here we go.
That's why you have a top 10 to that.
Yeah. Right. Well, I should do one of those. Mine would probably be 20 still, but that's okay.
That's fine.
Really like Ford versus Ferrari. Really liked Knives Out. That's the one.
Oh, yes.
really like Knives Out. Those two are the ones that kind of jump out at me the most. But every time I do this, I go back and I look at movies that release this year and I get to something that's in like February and I'm like, God, that feels like it was 2 years ago.
Right.
Had kind of a crazy 2019.
You know, the crazy thing about Knives Out is it's such a genre film, but it is really a great movie.
Just it's all around.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Very good. I enjoy the hell out of that. Haven't seen Jojo Rabbit yet. It just released here this week, but I haven't made it to the theater. Very, very excited for that.
It's good. Well. It's not perfect. I debated on it making my top 10. I kind of just left it on the edge out, but it's a really good movie. As we said, leading into this, there was so many good movies this year. It was really good year for movies. Incredible year.
Other one I'm really excited to see, and I'm going to try to do it this week, I think, sometime, take the wife and go watch a couple movies, is The Gentlemen. We didn't get that until January 1st either here. So,
well, that doesn't come out till like mid-January here.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think it got the New York LA release for award contention, but we don't actually get it anywhere else till I think it's January 4th.
Yeah, I just assumed since it was here that it had already released there.
No.
Suck it, nerds.
You get
the Guy Ritchie movie first.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
And I forgot about it. I made the list for 20 most anticipated movies that comes out at the end of this week. I think I need to go back in there and add The Gentleman and remove something else. But I was first looking at 2020 and I'm like, this kind of looks light compared to 2019. But by the time I built that list, I'm like, I guess I have to leave this off because there's so much, so much nostalgia that's coming in 2020, which we'll get to that. There are so many decades later sequels. Yeah. And I don't normally get excited for that stuff, but you tell me Coming to America, another Bill and Ted, another Bad Boys, like all of that stuff. So some of the movies mentioned so far, Parasite, Knives Out, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Ford versus Ferrari. You brought up, Adam, you brought up earlier in the year, I think a huge hidden gem was January's release, usually where movies go to die, of The Upside. With Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston. That was a really good movie. I put it as an honorable mention. It was in my top 10 till probably the last couple weeks, but kind of got pushed out. It was a really good movie. And that was January of last year. It's great. Alita was a fun action movie. And that was February or March.
Yeah. I mean, this year, I just don't remember that many films at the very beginning that really stood out for me, at least.
Really? Yeah, those are a couple.
We didn't have a Black Panther this year, like holding down February and just locking down that first part of the year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we had Captain Marvel, but
we had good movies. We just didn't have like top 10 list or award contender type movies, right? So I really appreciated The Upside. Adam, you had just saw The Long Shot. We were talking about that. That was a little bit later, still first half of the year, which was a surprisingly, fantastically funny movie.
Oh, it was really good. Yeah.
You mentioned Captain Marvel. We mentioned Alita, Battle Angel. I don't know if it was better because of how much everybody hated it going in and it just seemed to be better, but it was a good sci-fi action movie. Yeah. And incredible. If you had to see it in 3D at the theaters too. So that was incredible.
I saw it in basically the opposite way. 3D in the theaters. I saw it on a very small screen flying across the Atlantic. It was one of the movies that we got on the flight over. And it was good enough. It was good enough. I stayed awake.
That's sad.
That's impressive. But I
stayed awake and watched that whole movie. Yeah.
Because the way James Cameron uses 3D, you remember it brought me back.
Yeah.
Avatar in theaters. Like now Avatar is like everybody's kind of over it. But I bet you if you were to go see it in theaters again in that 3D, whatever. They're going to release it, bud.
They're going to release it again in 3D before the new one comes
out. It's got to get that money back for
just,
that.
Just so you don't forget us. Here we are still. Yeah.
All right. So top 10 movies for me. I ranked all 80 movies, I gave all 80 of them a score from 0 to 10. And 0 to 5, I tried not to use half scores. So anything 0 to 5 is not a half. No, I lied. There's one of them, but I'll change it. So anything 0 to 5 is not a half score. And then I did halves after that to kind of separate, especially towards the top, because there was, if I look at it here, of movies that I ranked 8 or higher, that's about 18 movies and a couple at 7.5. So, you know, 20 movies that I just really, really liked. Because for me, when I do a review, 7, that's a solid, really good movie. I recommend go seeing it, all that. 8, that is a fantastic movie. 9, that is one of the best movies ever. 10, I don't remember the last time I gave out a 10 score, but there is that one review that went up on the site. That was my number one movie of the year, and I gave it a 10 score this year. And I think it's just because it hits so close. Ranking them backwards. So again, this list is published on Project Nerd by the time this podcast airs. Number 10 is The Two Popes. It didn't even feel like it was 2+ hours long. Just sitting there listening to them two talk, it was fantastic. And there was no political or social agenda with it. It was more of just getting to know these two guys who were completely different and how actually in real life become pretty close friends. Not to mention the first pope to just resign sent in like 3 centuries. Like, so pretty interesting around there. Number 9, I had The Farewell. Awkwafina blew me away. Like, that movie, you don't walk into a drama with a one named comedian, Awkwafina, as the main star expecting it to be that good. And you feel part of the family the whole way through. It is just, it is fantastic. I loved it for sure. At number 8, a little gem, speaking of Tallgrass Film Festival, Hudson. And I put Hudson in my top 10. Sean Cunningham's film was fantastic. Everything just felt genuine and good about it. Number 7 was There's the Irishman. I know this is polarizing critics right now, polarizing audiences, but it is an award season darling for a reason. Scorsese did a phenomenal job. And man, Pacino, De Niro, Pesci, all were fantastic. I know, Adam, you're on the same page with me. Yeah. Bob's shaking his head down there. So
Pesci and De Niro for sure.
Oh, De Niro. De Niro blew me. Oh, like, amazing. I feel like De Niro needs a best actor nod for sure. Pacino, I love Pacino, but sometimes Pacino is just Pacino. Like, Pacino is his character.
That's not a knock. That was
You don't hire Pacino to play the quiet characters.
Right. Number, I think I was at 6 now, is Luce. L-U-C-E, the Luce that dropped in August. I went in, I saw the trailer. It looked interesting. You know, the young adopted kid from Africa in the white privileged family and school and all this tension. Octavia Spencer as the teacher that starts to question this perfect student thing. And that movie went in so many directions that I never saw. I was just blown away by it. It was one of those movies. It's not a thriller in the sense of like horror thriller, but a thriller in the sense of what's happening. And I felt tense the entire way through it. So it did its job. That's for sure. Number 5, Booksmart, funniest movie of the year, easily. Booksmart was hands down hilarious. I'm glad to see it getting some acting nods, at least at the Golden Globes. It was well worth the time. Number 4, Knives Out. Knives Out, I think we're all on the same page with that one being one of the best of the year.
Quite good.
So good. So good. My favorite thing about it is, as somebody who takes pride in reading people and reading things and predicting stuff well, I was at the draft house. So you have the papers, right? So I wrote down what I thought was going to happen about 15, 20 minutes in, about another 20, 30 minutes in, I just crumbled up the paper and threw it out because that thing went out. Number 3, as I mentioned earlier, was Parasite. Absolutely loved it. It starts, I think, Bob, you kind of said it too. It's you kind of start to where it's interesting, but as soon as all the pieces kind of come together, like, I was just captivated and just waiting to see what was going to happen, especially near the climax. Wow. I was like, what is going to happen here? I have no clue. Number 2, The Peanut Butter Falcon. Guys, I don't know if you saw that. So good, so genuine. I never thought a Shia LaBeouf-led movie would be, for me, it was the longest running. It was going to be my best movie of the year. I gave it a 9.5. The great thing about it is the actor with Down syndrome genuinely does so. Apparently so many of the scenes were just recorded and ad-libbed, and they just went with what he did because they could only direct him so far. And it led to, I think, such genuine emotion and reactions throughout the film that it just was so good.
Yeah, I did pick that up this week.
Oh, it's so good. Have you seen it yet?
Not yet.
You need to watch it. It's fantastic. But my movie of the year is The Marriage Story. Noah Baumbach's Marriage Story. I relived the horrors of my life from 5 years ago at times on that screen. I was moved almost to tears at points. There were scenes. I love Adam Driver. This movie made me realize Adam Driver is phenomenal. Like, I want to see him in everything now. Best acting performance of the year, in my opinion, and his best acting performance ever. And I like Scarlett Johansson, never had a problem with her. To date, into this movie, I felt her best acting performance had been her, not even on camera. Yeah. She was phenomenal. Is that she couldn't match Adam Driver. Nobody can match Adam Driver in this movie, but she was really, really good. I think this is Scarlett Johansson's best performance to date as well. Honestly, though, it had two really, really good performances this year. She was fantastic in Jojo Rabbit as well. That's my top 10. You know, I said right on the edge there, I had some early in the year fighting with my family. Ended up being a really good movie. I have that near the top 10. John Wick 3 was typical John Wick fantasticness. Avengers Endgame was really a good movie. Like, I hate leaving it off the list here, especially being a nerdy site and a nerdy person, but it was really good right there at the edge. Mentioned The Upside. See, I think that was pretty much it right there. Oh, The King. I ended up liking the other Netflix movie, The King, a lot. And I think it was the, when I went in and that first fight sequence happens, just the two of them fighting. And I'm like, this is so awkward. Like, but then you start thinking about it and you're like, no movie has really taken medieval type fighting into context of that heavy armor and the tiring. It's just always perfect, like swordsmanship, right? Yep. And this movie just turned that on its head and made it seem so more realistic. And Timothy Chalamet, he just gets better. I don't know how he can, because he started so good, but he just gets better every time you see him.
Over under on Lifetime Oscars. I don't think he's not winning for this, obviously. So we'll just
throw no, that yeah, out. He
won't. But this over year, over under on Lifetime Oscars for Timothy.
So he's got one. He's got one, right?
Yeah. No, so I would put the over under.
He just has a nomination. What, like
four, oh, he didn't get the win for that?
No.
So he has just one nomination.
Right.
Oh, for him not winning so far with all those great performances, because he didn't even get nominated for was it Beautiful Boy, and that was fantastic.
Yeah. Wait, he was nominated. I thought.
No, he was nominated for that. I don't think he was nominated for the Oscar for Call Me by Your Name.
He was nominated for Call Me by Your Name.
That's what he was nominated. So is he nominated twice then? Either way, that's just backing what's happening in my head right now. I'm wondering if we're going to get another Leonardo DiCaprio situation on our hands here.
Yeah, he'll probably he might get nominated this year for Little Women.
I really want to see that one. That was one of
very good.
Everybody's talking great about it, but I wanted to mention that in my top 10 list of all the movies, there was the ones I didn't see that are ones that are in that level. 1917, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Bombshell, Little Women.
Fantastic.
And Uncut Gems. I really want to see that one too. So those five movies I still intend to see. And I feel like any five of those could end up knocking something off the list too. So I over under, I think he's maybe wins one or two, and but probably gets a lot of nominations. I'm really starting to think if he hasn't been winning already, maybe as he gets
older. It's one of those situations like we're gonna give it to him now. Like he's so young.
So that's the problem with the Academy. We can do a whole series of episodes on this. We talk every time we bring up the Academy Awards, the negatives that come with it.
Yeah.
That's the bar. It's the standard. We look to it every year. We break it down. We do a contest that Bob wins every year. But the point is when you really break it down, there's so much politics that go into it of who wins what. It's depressing because I really look, you talk about Call Me By Your Name, Beautiful Boy, even here in The King, which obviously The King is not a Best Picture even nominee. I don't think it's even going to get a nominee. There's no way. I think Netflix is going to maybe shock the world with three nominees. There's no way they can get a fourth. But yeah, if he's not winning already, I feel like it's going to be that point to where he gets older like Leonardo DiCaprio and then we finally give him something for eating raw meat and freezing to death out in the... So...
Oh.
How many do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I was figuring it had to be three or four. Because I mean, he's got a long time. I don't think he's going away.
When he wins next year for Dune, right? Oh.
Yes, and they'll just win all of the sequels because it'll be so good. They'll just make all of them. It's going to be
all the sequels.
I'm so excited. Oh,
That will be, I will go ahead and give you a hint of my 20 most anticipated movies of the year. Obviously, that's our most anticipated film of the year. Like
we've been talking about it for like 2.5 years.
Break it down. And as my paragraph explaining why, I just said, here, and just gave a list of people that are in it. When I looked at that cast again, breaking down that list, I was like, this is unreal. But you think 3 to 4 then?
I mean, that's my thought. Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to think of who has the most.
So most nominations, Meryl Streep. But also, too, this because then this gets complicated. Are we just assuming he's always going to be an actor or is he going to be one of those people that goes into directing, maybe writing and stuff like that?
No idea. Yeah, he's a talented dude.
He clearly is. He's incredibly talented. So you think just in general, it could be 3 to 4 Academy Awards. Yeah. Bob, how many awards you think?
Adam's too generous. I say one.
See, I think it's going to be that. I think it's going to be, it's almost going to be like that. How many times have we gone to watch the Academies and we're like, finally, they get basically their lifetime achievement award. Yep. Last year was Spike Lee. Yep. Before then, with The Departed, was Scorsese. There are tons of movies in his repertoire that should have clearly won him a Best Director award.
How many times has Al Pacino won an Oscar? Once,
right? Yeah. And De Niro doesn't even have a huge list.
He's got two, I think, right?
But he's got...
Look at it. De Niro in The Godfather 2 is amazing.
Yeah.
But the range we're asking him to do is not... You look at what Chalamet has already accomplished and how young he is. I mean, good God.
I will give you that.
He's so good. He's better than De Niro was at his age.
So I will give you that. And I will give you this too, that we made the joke about Pacino's Pacino, which isn't a bad thing, especially for those types of movies. But that kind of goes with De Niro too. When you take De Niro out of that crime, mob, whatever, you take him out of that scene. First of all, we'll omit, obviously, Meet the Parents, because he's hilarious in those movies.
Right. He only goes to comedy, right? He's in crime dramas or comedies.
And exactly. Do you see him doing a romantic comedy across from Meg Ryan or somebody like a Tom Hanks, right?
Right. You wouldn't cast him in Call Me By Your Name.
Exactly.
Kind of creepy.
I get what you're saying, and I'm on board with you here. But at the same time, the types of movies that De Niro, Pacino, and all them are in are typically the types of movies that get nominations at the end of the year. And clearly, so are now, at least, the movies that Timothy Chalamet's doing. Although somehow Beautiful Boy, that whole year, Amazon got kind of kicked in the balls with Beautiful Boy. And then was it Life Itself, the one with Oscar Isaac? Yeah. Both of those movies were two of the best movies in 2017 or 18? Yeah, and neither one of them got anything. Not even, like, I guess you said he got an acting nomination, which he definitely deserved. He's playing a young writer with a drug addiction. And if you've seen that movie, especially as a parent, man, I was crying through most of it. He is fantastic. And Steve Carell is fantastic in it too. But yeah, the kid's got range. And I can say kid because we're old men now, but the kid's got range.
We're way older than he is, right?
Now that it's 2020, we can admit we are old men now. He's got range, and I look forward to see what he's going to do in Dune, and I look forward to see what he's going to do in a lot of other things, because he's also working like crazy too. So he's popping stuff out. Like we mentioned, two fantastic ones this year already. Obviously, his Little Women he's getting talked about, and then his role in The King, which will get overlooked because of all the other great ones. But obviously, we're fans of Timothée Chalamet because we just went off for like 20 minutes. Since we're talking nominations, well, let's do it, guys. Let's take a look at the Golden Globe nominees this year. And we discussed it in detail also over the past couple of years, many times as we made fun of the Academy for their off and on decisions over the past couple of years. One of the biggest decisions that has stuck is moving up the Academy Awards, which then in turn domino effect these other ones. So the Golden Globes, very first weekend of January now. So Ricky Gervais back to host 2 days ago when this airs, but tonight for us, nominees galore. Golden Globes is always more of a party. I think it usually gives us a little insight into some of the movie nominations, but very rarely the wins. Usually more the Guild Awards that get in between now and the Academies give us more insight onto what's going to actually win at the Academy Awards. But I think especially around, because the nominations are due right ahead of this show for the Academy Awards, right? Because they get announced here pretty quickly. I think we see a lot of similar nominations. So
yeah, the ballots just went out, I think, for the Oscars.
Okay, so they just went out. They did not do it right. The talk series, Adam. So I think we'll debate some of the big ones, but anything that's jumping out from you on the streaming side? Anything missing? Anything big nominations, obvious winners, things like that?
Looking at drama, I mean, you've been bragging about The Morning Show. I haven't watched it, but huge buzz around that, obviously. I've been loving The Crown. I think that's absolutely fantastic. The acting in it's great. The story, I think, is engaging.
That's because it's required viewing over there in England.
It's required. Not required viewing.
That's how you got on their health insurance. Best television series drama is Crowded. Killing Eve
is
fantastic, and critics love it. Succession has been a phenomenal start. Yeah.
Right. It's always hard to bet against the HBO too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And they got two of them here with Big Little Lies. I think Big Little Lies is the outlier. Any of the other four, I think, could easily win this. I do think The Morning Show, specifically because of the content it's covering, has kind of a lead here on winning. It very much talks about the Me Too movement, and it's covering it in a way I've never seen covered before, and it's fantastic.
The thing about the Hollywood foreign press is they don't pick the standards. They usually kind of go for those kind of quirky shows that could do well later on.
Well, I believe they picked Killing Eve last year.
Yeah, Killing Eve. And then that started doing well. And
oh, good. It's so good.
Yeah. And then they were doing, I think they were the first ones that went with Orange is the New Black. Just all the, like I said, all the different shows, they've kind of started the snowball effect with them into other awards.
So I think a big thing to take away here is the difference in streaming. Well, now that it's streaming compared to way back then, because when you're looking at these nominees, how many big names do you have here and how crowded are these? And some of these series, these budgets are as big as some of these movies that we have nominated, right? Like, it's huge. We even talk about a series that's obviously not nominating, not going to get nominated, The Witcher. That budget is insane that they put on that for Netflix. But I'm looking at best performance by an actress in a television drama, and your names are Jennifer Aniston, Olivia Colman, who we all remember from last year, Nicole Kidman, Reese Witherspoon, and then Jodie Comer, who is a perfect psychopath in Killing Eve. She is flawless as a psychopath, so it makes me even question if I ever met that person, I would be concerned. But the other four names are huge actresses that have all, I mean, Reese Witherspoon, Olivia Colman, Nicole Kidman, they have all won for acting awards at the Academy. I believe Kidman's won, right? Yeah, so they have all won. And I've never been a fan of Jennifer Aniston's acting. Never really. But she is phenomenal in The Morning Show. She is absolutely fantastic. This is, I think my point is getting here is we can go down and kind of go over it the same with some of the other stuff. Best television series, Musical Economy, Barry, starring a fantastic comedian writer. The Kaminsky Method. I mean, that's, what's his name?
That's so fantastic. Michael Douglas.
Michael Douglas. And yeah, you've got huge names tied to these. I think it's crazy that it's these.
Well, I mean, I the musical right. comedy, it's all streaming except Barry, which HBO Go or HBO Now or whatever
and HBO the they're really calling it. Like, their focus to stream. Like, they're really kind of saying, we're not just a network.
We're
not a movie channel anymore. We're a streaming service. Yeah, they are really do it. And that showed with when Watchmen dropped was one of the, that opening Sunday for that first episode on their HBO streaming. We have an article on it on the site. I'd have to pull it up, but the numbers were outstanding of what they're getting on HBO Go and Now, which, like you said, will eventually become HBO Max here in just a few months, compared to what they're getting from people watching on their cable boxes or satellite boxes. So I don't know. The series ones, I would say, what do you guys got? What do you guys got winning best television series drama? What do you got winning best television series musical comedy? Real quick, because we listed television series drama, which was Big Little Lies, The Crown, Killing Eve, The Morning Show, Succession. But we hadn't listed yet musical comedy. We did mention Barry from HBO. You have Fleabag on Amazon, The Kaminsky Method on Netflix. The darling of all of this, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon. And then The Politician on Netflix, which I don't know how, I haven't watched that yet because the trailer alone kind of just has me kind of...
It looks pretty strange, but Fleabag's the big thing right now. It won, it swept the Emmy Awards this last September. So I got
it's going to dethrone Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, but still keep Amazon at the top is what Bob's pretty saying. Much. All right, what do you got for comedy musical here, Adam?
I don't know. I'd love to see the Kaminsky Method get it because I think it's absolutely fantastic. And I was leaning towards Mrs. Maisel just because that show hasn't slowed down at all. So I don't like how does it win last year and not win again? Because I think it's maybe better this year. So I'd toss it between one of those two. But Bob's probably right, and I'm sure, because I'm always wrong and Bob's always right. So if you're picking, pick with Bob.
I think I'm in agreement there. It's going to be Amazon. If it's not Fleabag, then yeah, it's going to be.
That's basically just say Amazon will win.
If the Hollywood Foreign Press doesn't fall in line with Fleabag being the sensation of this year, I think they go again with Marvelous Mrs. Maisel because they seem to have loved that show. On the drama side, man, I don't know. I can't say The Morning Show is the best thing on that list until I finish the series, which I probably will do tonight and not even watch the Golden Globes. Killing Eve is loved. Like, it is praised globally right now. And the acting in Killing Eve is so fantastic. And I brought up Jodie Comer as a psychopath killer. Like, I wouldn't be surprised to see Killing Eve win this again.
Yeah, wouldn't be surprised about The Morning Show.
Yeah, it's got the cast and the crew for it.
It's weird not picking HBO. Like, but I guess, I mean, you know.
Well, you got Succession and Big Little
Lies. That's
where
we've come to. Right, and I think if one of them were going to win, I think it would be Succession.
Yeah.
I mean, agreed. That show just, Oh, so that would be my pick. But again, go with Bob, whatever.
I'm putting Bob all really... the pressure on me.
Yeah, Bob. Well, you're good at this.
Oh, well.
So I'm going to go down the list for movies. We've done most of the episode already, so we've got to get moving pretty quickly. So some of these other ones, the smaller categories, as we always call them, I'm going to list the nominees so we know them. Again, by the time this airs, it's already going to have, you know what? I'm not even going to go down. I'm not going to do that because the Golden Globes is going to have aired by the time we air. So no point in me rehashing all the nominees like we will do for the Academy Awards and everything. So just looking at Best Original Song and Best Original Score, we'll start there. Anything that jumps out at you guys?
I'm not even going to try to pronounce her name, but for Joker, for score.
Oh, Hildur.
That is the creepiest damn score I've ever heard. And it's
really...
Oh, gosh, yeah. I thought it just set the mood for the entire movie.
Okay.
Even though 1917, I think, may end up getting it.
Right. I'm just going to lean 1917. Those types of movies typically win scores. Wartime. On the original song side, you got two Disney nominees right here. Frozen 2. The Unknown.
Both out.
Think so? The Lion King Spirit. I think the only thing that I would have thought could have taken it would have been Stand Up with Harriet, but... Harriet being the Harriet Tubman like action biopic that it was this year, that's not getting nominated anywhere else. I don't think it's going to be able to knock out one of the Disney ones.
It's going to be, I think, Elton John's song from Rocket Man.
Rocket Man? Really? Mm-hmm. Adam, any thoughts on the music categories?
Picking against the mouse, Bob.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yes, all right.
Yeah, if Tyler was here, I'd probably be slapped around, but nope.
I mean, it's tough. It's always tough. Well, they got two options this year. I mean, but it's always the animated one, right? It's going to be
Frozen. But you know what? The song from Frozen 2 is not one of those. It's not a let it go, let it go. It's not that one that you want to just sing along. The other one, is, the one this year is.
Bobby said that's your deal.
I can't even sing it. So.
So, Adam, it's funny you bring that up. When we get to Best Animated Movie, The Lion King is a fully animated movie and is actually nominated for Best Animated Movie.
Well, I mean, I know that, but it's not the same. Odd, you know it's not the same.
Live action.
Don't be a jerk.
It's the bastard child of animation. Same.
So Best Screenplay, man, I know I said I wasn't going to list these, but I won't list all the names, but you have The Irishman, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Two Popes, Parasite, Marriage Story. In the Academy Awards, you'll get original screenplay and adapted, right? Here at the Golden Globe, you just got Best Screenplay. So you got five of those right there. All five, I would not be shocked if they win. Like any one of those could win, and I would not be like, wow, that was a, you know. But I don't know. Who do you got favorite on this?
Marriage Story, definitely.
I was going to say Tarantino.
You think Tarantino?
I don't think he's getting director.
Oh, no, he's not getting director. I'm going to go with Marriage Story as well. I Noah Baumbach should call Wes Anderson and tell him how much he appreciates him. Because, first of all, you're laughing at him, but these two are college buddies, college roommates. And if you actually go look at most of Wes Anderson's movies, co-writing credit belongs to Noah Baumbach. They have been a long time. But it's Anderson who kind of broke through the scene on the awards, you know, to become that, I've used the term a number of times already, award darling, right? Like Wes Anderson kind of came that quirky, like fun nominee now. Never is really going to win, but kind of got nominated. Well, Noah Baumbach takes that same style that Wes Anderson has, but instead of being quirky and like an odd movie, it's real. It's like reality. Yeah. And I think that's what sets Marriage Story apart here. The writing is so good in that movie. I hope that wins, and I think it will.
It's real. It's real. It's how people talk, basically.
Yeah.
And to be able to capture that in the film is pretty amazing. I mean, yeah, Tarantino's is really good, but he's won several times already for screenplay, and it's time for somebody else to win.
And Bob, I guess I'll have to say it. You got some weird crackling noise going.
Yeah,
the
mic was rubbing up against my face.
Oh, okay. That makes sense then. Yeah. Director, I think you already said Tarantino's not going to win, Adam. Who do you got for this one?
I haven't seen it, but it's got to be Mendez, right? Like just hearing about the production in 1917, doing it all in single shots. Like you don't get all the cutting that you get with war movies or anything like that. Just like all the different ways they found to make it happen and to have that idea as the director. I think it'll win director of photography as well, just because it's such a crazy thing that they had to do. I mean, it sounds phenomenal. And
so Mendez is very much in the Alfonso Cuarón camp of long sequences, less takes, and we do see that get a lot of praise with Gravity and of course even Roma, like recent
Birdman, and I mean it goes back they've been doing it for a long time, and it's effective, and I think it's going to be challenging in a war movie.
Right.
But Bong Joon-ho for Parasite, definitely.
I think he's the best director.
Remember who's giving the award? The Hollywood Foreign Press. I have a feeling he's going to, I know, yes, I'm terrible, but I really do think it's definitely one of those touchstone films that people who go see it love it, and they'll tell everybody about it. And it is such a good movie for being at times seeming like it's just a small little drama. And like, you know, it's like it starts off very, very funny at times, then it gets kind of serious, and then it just goes crazy dark. I think he is probably the new big director in Hollywood right now. And I think this is going to be the start of it.
I think one of you is right. There's no way Todd Phillips wins this. I think Scorsese and Tarantino they're the long time ones here. We've given them their awards already. I think one of you guys is right though. The big question is anybody beating Tom Hanks for best actor in a supporting role for A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood?
Yes.
Oh, who is beating him?
Brad Pitt.
Oh, for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
He was fantastic. That is an incredible performance.
It was. I loved it, especially when he comes back into the house in the one scene. But I don't... I think
Hanks is good. Brad Pitt was better.
How is Hanks, as Mr. Rogers, a supporting role in Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood?
Oh, you know, because it's about the reporter who wrote the...
Right.
Okay.
And so he's meeting with him and he's like, oh, I hope meeting my hero doesn't, you know, impact. So that's kind of what the movie follows, is basically the reporter. When it comes down to it, if it gets a screenplay nomination, it'll probably be adapted because it's based off the reporter's words, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
So I don't know. I still think Tom Hanks is the safe bet here.
Oh, that people love giving awards to Tom Hanks.
He hasn't gotten an award in forever.
Right.
By the way, has he been worthy of one in forever? He's also getting the Lifetime Achievement Award tonight, too, so that may cancel him out for getting supporting.
That's a good point. They might feel somebody else needs to get there. That's a great point to bring up. I'm a little more, I don't know. I'm still going to go with it, though. Just as strong as I'm going to go with Laura Dern in A Marriage Story for Best Actress in Supporting Role. Anybody who has seen Marriage Story has not shut up about Laura Dern's performance in this movie. And I loved her, too. I get it. I don't think she's the best performance in it, but people are, especially critics, are going nuts for Laura Dern in this movie.
She's good, but I'm going J-Lo.
For Hustlers.
That was a great performance.
Really?
Have you seen it? It is.
No, I told you the digital copy code you gave me didn't work.
Oh, well, but anyways, you should go rent it. It is a fantastic performance. It just kind of puts everything that she's done in the past to the back. This is a wonderful performance.
Is it good enough to also redeem A-Rod? Since there are a couple, I mean, right?
I don't think there's anything that can redeem A-Rod, but this comes close.
Okay.
I'm going J-Lo.
And, Adam, oh, go ahead.
And like I said, she's never been nominated before, so I think she's going to finally get a little love. And besides, she's going to be at the Super Bowl this year, so that may
she's
get a little
also worse. Never been worthy of being nominated, Bob. I mean, it's not like she's been snubbed, for God's sakes.
Out of sight.
I was just about to say, are you kidding me?
Why would that be nominated? You guys are killing me.
Out of sight.
Now, first of all, Out of Sight comes out today. It receives nominations at an award show. Out of Sight comes out back when it did. It wasn't, the award shows didn't go that direction. But now it's that, we just talked about the Wes Anderson stuff, all that. The Hollywood Foreign Press, the Academy, all of them, the guilds, they love the quirkiness now. They love it. It's a cool thing. So I think Out of Sight would. And her performance is actually
very good. And I just saw that the other night again.
You guys are killing me.
Who do you got, Adam?
I'm going to put you, both of you, on record right now.
Meryl Streep is not nominated.
I know. She needs to go. You guys need to go look at the movies that came out that year and tell me the five actresses that aren't as good as J-Lo in that.
We'll do that after. Otherwise, if Tyler was here, you'd hear click, 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 click.
He'd already have it. I haven't seen any of those movies, so I can't. I don't know.
I will have to say, Margot Robbie in Bombshell is phenomenal.
That would be my pick. Looking at the list,
because it is.
I feel like that's an important movie right now.
Yeah, you think she's like, she plays the goofy blonde and all that kind of stuff, but she has two moments in the film that are just gut-wrenching to watch. You know, I'm just sitting in the theater just like, holy shit. If it wasn't for J-Lo, I would go for Margot Robbie.
All right. So Foreign Language, I think we're all...
No one ever.
Foreign language is a parasite. Like, are we even going to pretend anything else?
Is anything else nominated?
Yeah, there's other nominees, but The Farewell is actually nominated as a foreign language film.
Because of the subtitles.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still, there's some English in it. Like, they're in the United States for part of it. So the big question, of course, is animated. You don't bet against the mouse. Disney has three nominees. I think we can rule The Lion King out because it's The Lion King over again, and it obviously not as good as the first one. But Toy Story 4 or Frozen 2?
Well,
now, I will remind you, critics included, but especially people I know, have said Frozen 2 is probably one of the best Disney movies in the past handful of years, let alone just a great animated movie.
There is a, well, gosh, I would probably have to go Frozen 2.
I think it's Frozen 2.
I really enjoyed Frozen 2.
And I think
it, for the song.
I think of it, he's saying it great. I think a part of it too is that all these award, you know, all the award groups, I guess, have already given Toy Story their big farewell award with Toy Story 3, because that was supposed to be the end of it. Everybody loved it and gave it its awards. I felt Toy Story 4 was a better close than Toy Story 3, but I feel because of that, as well as the way Frozen 2 is getting talked about, I think it's a shoe-in for Frozen 2.
Although How to Train Your Dragon has won a lot of the early critics awards.
Really?
So, yeah.
I mean, as much as DreamWorks doesn't ever beat Disney, if there's one of their franchises that does get love, especially from like the Academy, it's the How to Train Your Dragon franchise.
Yeah.
They love that franchise.
That was a good movie. That really was good.
Didn't bet against the mouse when it was just the mouse. Definitely didn't bet against the mouse after they bought Star Wars. For sure didn't bet against the mouse after they bought Marvel. You can't do it now that they have owned Fox too. They just own two movies not to give them awards. You have to give them awards.
But get
people, don't the rules. Bet against the mouse. It's not, so, but it's pretty close.
Okay, Tyler.
So, and we're kind of dragging and boring. We're running out of time. So real quick, we're looking at the musical comedy awards. We got best actor in a motion picture, musical comedy, best actress. Again, the nominees listed, it's already won by the time people listen to this. So who you guys betting on for best actor and actress real quick?
I have to quickly look at that. Best actor in a musical comedy, probably going to be Leonardo, but watch out for Eddie Murphy and Dolomite.
Yeah, they're really digging on. They really like Eddie Murphy and Dolomite is my name. I felt it was fine. It wasn't great. I think you're right. Leonardo DiCaprio is the favorite here. Although I want it to be Daniel Craig.
I'm going to pick Daniel Craig. This is why I always lose. Because
You pick from the heart.
I do. It's Daniel Craig. He was phenomenal in that movie.
And best actress, Awkwafina.
Yeah.
I think so.
Things there. Too.
The only person I would have said would have been Emma Thompson, but Late Night's not award style movie. If it was a different style,
it just didn't get a good release,
right?
So people really didn't get a chance to see it.
And praise to Ana de Armas there as well for Knives Out too. Yeah. So best who, by the way,
was in Blade Runner 2049 too.
Best motion picture, musical or comedy, Dolomite Is My Name, Jojo Rabbit, Knives Out, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Rocket Man. I think this is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood's to lose, right?
In a walk.
As much as we love Knives Out, I think I have Knives Out higher on the list. It sounds like Adam probably does too. It's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is the favorite here. Jojo Rabbit would be the only other thing I could see sneaking in there somehow, but I agree, in a walk. All right. Motion picture drama, best actress, best actor. Adam Driver, Marriage Story.
Yeah, Baby Driver,
You think so? You don't think Joaquin Phoenix has a chance here?
That's going to be such a tough one.
I don't know.
All right. Let's pick actress real quick, because it sounds like we're going to need a moment on actor. So actress, that's a really tough one too. But Bob, you mentioned
Renee Zellweger is phenomenal.
As Judy Garland.
She sings, she has the physical transformation. I knew she's going to win it from the preview when I first saw it back in the summer.
And it's a biopic. I think it's a safe bet.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's hard to pick against people playing people.
My dark horse, Charlize Theron.
I think she's also in a very serious social topic too. So those are safe bets for both of them. Definitely. All right. So best actor, I think we can throw Banderas out the window, right? And Jonathan Pryce probably as well for the two popes. I don't want to say completely dismiss them, especially Pryce, but it really feels like we're discussing Bale Driver and Phoenix here.
I would even throw Bale out.
You think so? I would agree with you. Adam's really holding on to that. He really loves Ford versus Ferrari.
It's quite well, and he does such a good job. And I mean, you know, really, he's an amazing actor, right? Like, yeah. I think he is just obviously the best thing on that screen whenever he's on it.
Yeah.
Against all the people he's up against. And there's quite a good cast in that as well.
So I'm going to say it. I don't think we've done a few podcasts since I've seen the Joker, but I don't think I've really said it. I gave the Joker a 4 out of 10 on my score. I was not impressed. And Joaquin Phoenix does a good job. I don't know why, though, the Joker is getting all this award love. I feel Adam Driver gave a performance of a lifetime in The Marriage Story. Yeah. If you watch The Marriage Story, there is the scene where him and Scarlett Johansson, after the court meeting, they meet in his apartment. And some of the things he says, like, I'm like, I have said those words. Everything about those moments that he had were so real.
Was that him or is that the writing?
But he's delivering those.
The writing's the words. He makes it real.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
You could robotically have said those amazing things. And I also feel like, I mean, it's not too much spoilers. He punches the wall at points, which I think was a huge thing because it shows a man who is not violent, who has never once showed abuse towards his wife, ex-wife or kid. And in that moment, he's just breaking down and he hits a wall. And that almost felt like it wasn't supposed to be there. Like he just did that. I don't know. There's just Adam Driver from the point to where he's reading the letter about her at the beginning to the point where he's singing and then reading the letter about him at the most complete performance I can remember in a long time. I hope he wins it at the Academy Awards. I'm really worried though that Joaquin Phoenix is going to,
this is going to be one of those categories where there is the possibility of a split where people are liking both Joaquin Phoenix, Adam Driver. And then if that's the case, then Antonio Banderas wins. Oh. But because he won the Cannes Film Festival Best Actor, he's won several of the Guild Award Best Actors. I agree Adam Driver did give the best performance of the year. But when you have him and Joaquin Phoenix, you got polar opposites. You got probably one of a very sedate, fairly quiet performance from Driver. And then you get crazy from Joaquin Phoenix. It's going to be really interesting to see just the dichotomy of how people are going to vote those two. And like I said, you may get that split and somebody else is going to sneak in with 33% of the vote or 34% of the vote if the other two have 33%. But I'm going Driver.
All right. So best motion picture drama, Netflix, 3 in this category. And I think in the weeks ahead, we're going to talk about what this is going to cause for the Academy because 3 of the best films of the year recognized by guilds, by film festivals, by everything, have been Netflix movies. So it's going to be really hard to lock out because Roma was one of the best movies of last year, but it got locked out because of that. Now when you got 3 horses in the race, we'll see how that's going to go because as we've said all hour plus, a lot of good movies this year, but you have The Irishman, Marriage Story, and The Two Popes from Netflix, 1917 from Universal, which is starting to become like the overwhelming favorite here, it seems like, and then Joker from Warner Brothers, which again, I don't understand. So I could really see I don't see the Joker winning this. And I'm not saying that because of my bias. I just say it because what it's up against. I think Joker is getting that Black Panther treatment of here's your nominee because this was much better than most comic book movies, but you're not going to win, right? If you win, it's going to be an acting award. The other 4, I could realistically see getting the win here.
I don't know. I feel like The Irishman's too long to win.
I think The Irishman peaked too early.
Gone with the Wind was long.
Gandhi was forever. But no, it's just, I think The Irishman, like I said, it peaked too early. It had too much time for people to really kind of break it down and essentially tear it down. Two Popes, no, I don't think that has a chance.
Too light.
But Marriage Story, of the 3 Netflix films, I would go Marriage Story. But 1917, again, you're talking about the Hollywood Foreign Press. They may go with something big like that. And so I'm going to go for the underdog. I'm going 1917.
You think it's the underdog?
I think it's the underdog. Because everybody think it's going Marriage Story.
Marriage Story is, it's so real. It's so good. I think you broke it down really good. Irishman, I think if Irishman is the last of the major movies Netflix did this year release, the one that comes out in December, I think we're talking a lot more like it. I think you're right, Bob. I think it came out and there was so much, it wasn't just the movie. There was so much around it, right? Yeah. That came out ahead of it and the festivals and it got some theatrical time and as well. But then after it, you got some really good movies that aren't these New York and LA only releases. I mean, 1917 is wide release. This is the year, and I think when we get to the Academy Awards that you're seeing, these aren't where we're going to say there's 10 nominees or nine, because the even though we can open it up to 10, the Academy only ever does nine. There's nine nominees, but five of them you could have only seen if you were in New York or LA. I think this is the year where this first year of where all the nominees are, the majority of the world has seen them and has opinions, and the guilds have had better chances to see them, the Hollywood Foreign Press, because as much as we talk about it, it impacts us being able to see them. We all know not every single member voting here has actually gone and seen all of these movies nominated, right? Yeah. Like, no. Well,
possibly Hollywood Foreign Press, because there's only like 70 on this list who votes.
Right. But point being is that everything is out there and everywhere right now. So I think I want Marriage Story here. I don't think 1917 is the underdog. I think since it's hit theaters and what it started to, the attention to start again, I think it's starting to steamroll to where we're going to see win more and more and more. However, big note is that at certain film festivals and certain other early award season, kind of our pre-award season winnings, Marriage Story has won most of the same stuff Green Book won last year, just a heads up. So Green Book snuck in there and won it all. So watch out if it's trending. Again, we usually see the guilds, you know, that are in between here and the Academy, what really gives us. But if you go based on early trending, I think Marriage Story might be something that is starting to win a lot. So
I'd like for it to, but we'll see.
We're gonna have to mix it up something for the Academy Award episode this year. Do something a little more exciting, because going down lists is, I know it's not as much as we love it and debating this stuff and all that, I know it's not as entertaining for our audience.
That's because Tyler isn't here to argue about stuff.
Maybe that was it. Tyler wasn't telling Bob he was wrong every time Bob explained something. So I don't know. But the Golden Globes, obviously they're out. If you didn't catch it, full list of winners and nominees out over on Project Nerd. Our best movie list that we talked about, Nick's and mine, out. Most anticipated movies 2020, headlined by Dune, as well as a lot of decades old sequels coming out, will be there as well. That'll be at the end of this week. Of course, all the awesome and original podcasts you got coming from Project Nerd, including a lot more new titles this year in 2020. Nerdcast by Project Nerd, brought to you by Geek Garage. Let's close it out real quick, guys. No lengthy final thoughts or anything. Just a quick note. What should we tell our listeners heading into 2020?
Go Chiefs.
Go Chiefs. Okay, that's fair. Huck and Chuck at football.
There you go. Huck and Chuck at football. Find your middle path, people. Do what makes you happy. Don't let anybody else tell you bullshit.
Go play video games.
Right?
If that's your path to happiness, go for it, right?
Tyler would tell you your path to happiness is books. So that's what he would say. I'll say that for it. Other than that, always head over to Project Nerd, project-nerd.com, and check out all the amazing content we have, including news, pop culture news, articles, reviews, top 10 lists, all the many podcasts, even the one you don't catch here on this feed. And I think we've got a handful a podcast coming, and like I said, more coming around. So thanks again for listening in 2019. We hope you enjoy us in 2020. Well, that's it for episode 216 of the Nerdcast.
Hey, Pro Nerds, thanks for listening to the podcast. If you like the Nerdcast and other amazing Project Nerd podcasts, please go give us a subscription, a like, a review, wherever you find us, as we need your love and support to continue making awesome content. Next week, we'll be back with another great episode of the Nerdcast, as well as other original Project Nerd podcasts.